base our message upon today are the final words of verse number 42 of 1 Kings chapter number 18. Where it says, "And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees." Now, the last time we looked at Elijah, the man of God, we saw him in the public gaze and the pathway to blessing and the fire of the Lord falling upon the altar upon Mount Carmel. Well, through our Bible reading today, we see something of Elijah, the man of God, alone with God in the place of prayer. Now, after the slaying of the false prophets at Kishon, verse 41 says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. While ungodly King Ahab is taken up with eating and drinking." Notice the contrast with Elijah, the man of God. He is not taken up with eating and drinking, no. Rather, he is taken up with God. Because he is alone with God in the place of prayer upon Mount Carmel. And this, no doubt, was a welcome relief for Elijah to get alone with God after the great public contest he had with the false prophets of Baal. And here in this place, Elijah was to remain until the rain from heaven fell upon the land of Israel. Now, I want you to see today that in this solitary place of prayer, Elijah was heeding not only the word of God, but he was also following the very example of Christ himself. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount to his disciples in Matthew's Gospel, when he said to them, "When thou prayest, enter thou into thy closet." And there he was speaking to his disciples about private prayer, about getting alone with God in the secret place. And then you recall also what is said about the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry in Luke's Gospel. One occasion it says about him that he went out into a mountain to pray. And he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, continued all night in prayer to God. And there you have Christ alone with God as Heavenly Father on the mountaintop, seeking his Heavenly Father in prayer. Now, by engaging here in private prayer, Elijah was engaging in something that is vitally important for every child of God. Thomas Brooks was a great preacher and writer of a bygone era, one of the great Puritans of the past. I would commend his writings, his literature to you. You'll find good food for your soul. But on one occasion, speaking about prayer, he said, "The best Christian is he that is the greatest monopolizer of time for private prayer." He knew the value of the believer getting alone with God in prayer. Now, if private prayer was important for Elijah, the servant of God, in our reading this morning, if it was important for Christ himself, he who is the sinless Son of God, then how much more important should it not be also for you and I who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting today? Yes, private prayer should be a part and partial of our everyday life as God's believing people. And that being the case, I want us then just to look at this incident that has been recorded regarding Elijah, the man of God, alone with God in prayer upon Mount Carmel. Notice first of all here with me the promise that Elijah rested on in the place of prayer. You see, for some 3.5 years, there had been no rain in Israel. There had been dearth throughout the land because of the drought and no rain. But here at the end of 1 Kings chapter 18, what do we find Elijah doing? he is praying for rain. How do we know that? Well, proof of that is given over in James 5 that we read earlier today in verse 18, where it says of Elijah, he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. He was praying for rain. And I want you to see here that Elijah prayed for this rain, and this petition was based and grounded upon the very promise of God. Go back to verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at what you read there at the very end of that verse 1 of 1 Kings 18. There the Lord is speaking. Notice the promise that he gave to Elijah after some 3.5 years. The promise was this, and I will send rain upon the earth. And what was Elijah doing here in Mount Carmel? He was but asking the Lord to do what he said he would do. He was but asking the Lord to do what he had promised that he was going to do. It was 3.5 years of drought and dearth and barrenness upon the land, awful upheaval and darkness in the land. But in the midst of all that, Elijah did not lose sight of the promise of God for him. He kept this promise before his eye of faith. And now he pleads it before God at the end of some 3.5 years of drought that God would send rain again upon the land. And you know, unlike fashion believer, when you and I engage in prayer, we also are to base our petitions upon the promises of God. By the ground of our praying, it must be the promises of the Lord. That is how it was with the hymn writer, for they said, thy promise is my only plea, with this I venture nigh. And there the hymn writer tells us how they drew near to God in prayer, pleading the promise of the very Word of God. Child of God, you and I, yes, we can become acquainted with God's great and exceeding precious promises. And my, you and I as believers, we can plead them in prayer. Why? Because God has made them known unto us. God has revealed them unto us through this book, the Holy Bible, through the sacred scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. My, they are full of the promises of God to his people. The end of the book of Joshua. Joshua is now an old man. Chapter 23, verse 14, he's speaking there to Israel about God and the promises of God to his people as he has led them into the promised land. And this is what old Joshua says. He says that not one thing of field of all the good things which the Lord your God speak concerning you. I was telling them there that not one promise of the Lord had failed, that God had given and God had made with his ancient people. A believer in Christ is the same for you and I in this meeting house today. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at this tremendous verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 20. Look at what it says. It says, for all the promises of God in him, in other words, in and through Christ, made to his people, are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. In other words, the promises of God are sure. Christian in the meeting today, my, with confidence. You can plead that the promises of God in prayer because they're certain. We often sing that great old hymn, standing on the promises of God, and how we need to stand upon the promises of God in the place of prayer. That's what Elijah did. You know, it has been said that the Bible is a checkbook that is full of promises. You know, if you and I are to experience the blessing of these promises, we must cash those promises in. And how do we cash those promises in? You and I, we cash them in by pleading them before God at the throne of grace in prayer. Taking the promises back to God and pleading them before God, before the ear of God in prayer. Child of God, may you and I not be like Israel in the day of Ezekiel. You read there in Ezekiel chapter 36 how God promised them great blessing. He said, I will increase you with men as with a flock. But then the Lord makes this lament right near the end of that chapter. He says this, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. In other words, they had failed to claim that promise and pleaded at the throne of grace and prayer. Oh, may we not be like that. Oh, yes, we see the promise here that Elijah rested upon in prayer, the promise of God's own word that he would give and send rain. Notice something else here about Elijah, alone with God in prayer. Notice the petition that Elijah offered up in prayer. You'll see here that his petition was marked with deep reverence and deep humility. And we have indication of that in the very posture of Elijah that is recorded for us in our text today in verse 42 of 1 Kings 18. It says, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down. He cast himself down before God upon the earth, upon the very dust of the ground. And it says, he put his face between his knees. He's down low before the Lord. It's an attitude of reverence and humility before the Lord. Likewise, when praying as believers, you and I, we also must come before God with a reverent heart. We must come before God with humility of heart, with humility of spirit as we come to pray. As we come before God in prayer, we must come realizing our own sinfulness, our own unworthiness, our own nothingness before the Lord. We must realize that we are but dust and ashes before God. And before God in prayer, we must realize the majesty of God, the greatness of God, the holiness of God, the very vastness of God, the God of eternity before whom we come in the place of prayer. How we must come before Him with lowly, contrite, humble hearts. You think of the little birds that fly in the air. Where does the sweetest song of the bird come from? The sweetest song from the birds come from those that are smallest in the creation of God. You don't get a lovely sound from the buzzard or the eagle. They shriek, they cry. But where do you get the sweetest sound of the birds from? From the little birds of God's creation. And there's a lesson there for us as God's people. The sweetest fragrance before God, what is it? It is that of a lowly, contrite, humble heart before the Lord. The psalmist says that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. You think of God's great promise that He gives over in Isaiah chapter 66 and the verse number 2, he says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word, the person who is lowly before the Lord. The Lord says, to this man will I look in favor and in blessing and in grace. Yes, Elijah's petition was marked with reverence, with humility. You'll notice something else, that his petition was definite. What do we mean by that? Well, here on Mount Carmel, he asked specifically for rain. We see that from what James says in James 5, verse 18. It says, he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. The burden of his heart was that God would send rain upon the land. He prayed definitely and specifically about this matter before God in prayer. And child of God, in our praying, let us learn there from Elijah also to be definite believer in your prayers. Be specific in your prayers before God and what you ask God for. The hymn writer prayed, Savior, thy work revive. Here may we see those who are dead in sin quickened by thee. And there the hymn writer, she was praying what for? Specifically for revival. Specifically for the saving of souls. And people, as you and I would enter into the work of God this autumn, let us pray daily, pray specifically and definitely. What for? For revival here in Bethel. For souls to be saved here in Bethel. for revival here in Enniskillen, for souls to be saved in Enniskillen, for revival in County Fermanagh, and for souls to be saved in County Fermanagh. Let us pray definitely and specifically for this before the Lord. You remember that time when Peter was taken by Herod and put in prison? The church prayed for Peter, and she prayed specifically for Peter. It says this, "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." They prayed specifically and definitely for Peter. Believer, be specific and definite in your petitions that you ask of the Lord in the place of prayer as it was with Elijah. Notice something else here about his petition. He was earnest. Turn over to James chapter 5. You'll see that very plainly for yourself. James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Look at what it says about Elijah. It begins with the word Elias, just the Greek term for the name Elijah. And it says in verse 17 of James 5, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was no superhuman. He was just a sinner saved by the grace of God, like you and I and all God's people who are saved. Look at what it says about him. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not in the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. It tells us there that Elijah was a man who was earnest in prayer. Prayer, you see, was no light thing with Elijah. His whole heart and soul was in the business of prayer. Business of intercession. He prayed earnestly. And friends, that is how the Lord Jesus Christ himself prayed whenever he was here on earth. It says in Hebrews 5, verse 7, that he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. The Savior was fervent in prayer. He was earnest in prayer. You remember the counsel of the great apostle Paul to God's people? In the church in the city of Rome, in Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he says, "Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." My, they were to be fervent in their service for God. And that should be especially so in prayer, in all our service for God. Let us be fervent. Let us be earnest. But especially let us be earnest and fervent in the place of prayer, the place of seeking God. What does it say? James 5, verse 16. A great promise that I'm sure nearly every believer here that is in this meeting is familiar with. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One occasion, John Bunyan, the preacher and tinker of Bedford, was speaking about prayer. And this is what he says. He says, "When thou prayest, rather be thy heart without words than thy words without heart." Oh, he was emphasizing the point of being earnest in prayer. Notice one final thing this morning. Notice the persistence here of Elijah in prayer. Go back again to 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at what it said in verse 43 and verse number 44. "And Elijah said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." You'll notice there that Elijah prayed on. He prayed on until the rain came. In verse 43, he tells his servant to look out toward the sea to see if there were any rain clouds in the horizon. The servant, he initially reports that there's nothing to be seen. And Elijah prayed on. And he sent his servant up to look out toward the sea 7 more times to see if the rain was coming. And the 7th time, notice the report of the servant of Elijah. He was able to say, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea,
like a man's hand, just about the size of the very palm of your hand. And now the rain was to come. And Elijah, we see here, did not give up praying. Didn't give up till he heard word of this cloud the size of a man's hand. He prayed on until he knew that the rain was on his way. He persisted in prayer. You know, people, in all of this, Elijah is a wonderful example for you and I as believers to persist in prayer, to keep on praying. Sadly, today we have to say throughout the Church of Christ, the professing evangelical Church of Christ, sadly it is marked by many, many professing believers who used to pray privately, used to pray publicly at the prayer meetings. But sadly, that is no longer the case today. Something has happened. They've ceased to pray. They have cast off prayer. Oh, child of God, let me emphasize this morning, that is not the example that you and I as Christians are to follow. What does the hymn writer say? Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. We leave off prayer. We leave off the fight of faith, as we were singing about earlier on. Rather, we're to follow here the example of Elijah, this man who did not give up until the answer he gained. Think of the spirit of Jacob, who wrestled with God, and he said, I will not let thee go except that thou bless me. Elijah persisted in the place of prayer, in the place of being alone with God. And you'll see here that Elijah's persistence was rewarded. Go down to verse 45 of 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at what it says. It says, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And notice what it says. Notice the exact words. It says, and there was a great rain. It didn't say that there was a mist. Doesn't say there was just a drizzle or a few spots of rain, no. Says there was a great rain. God answered in a wonderful, mighty way. God sent a deluge of blessing through the rain upon the land. Instead of drought and dearth and famine, there was now going to be life and vitality throughout the land and throughout the nation because of this great rain that God was sending in answer to the prayers of a servant of old. You go over there to James chapter 5, verse number 18. Look carefully at what it says. It says there, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Notice what it says, and the earth brought forth her bunt. The landscape was changed from deadness, from death and dearth and desert to life and vitality and growth. What is God saying to you and I as Christians through this and this message this morning? Surely he is saying to you and I that there is no vain thing, no empty thing, no foolish thing to pray and seek God's face in prayer. It's not an empty thing. George Mueller was a man of prayer, and he said this. He says, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up, and the answers are always coming. I encourage you, believer, if you've never read any of the biographies of George Mueller, read them or read his autobiography, and that's what you will see. Answers to prayer coming, 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 time after time, because he was a man who prayed and sought the Lord. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter 4, and look at what Paul says there in verse number 2, right at the opening part of that chapter, Colossians 4, verse number 2. Look at what he says. May this be burned into every one of our hearts today. It says, continue in prayer. In other words, having begun, don't cease, don't stop, don't give up. Keep at it, keep praying, keep seeking God. Dear believer, in our meeting today, until the Lord comes, until the Lord calls you home, whenever that is, continue in prayer. Follow the example of Elijah. Maybe I'm speaking to a backslider in the meeting this morning, and you have cast off prayer. You've forsaken private prayer, public prayer. You've wandered away from the Lord. I encourage you today, dear backslider, come back to the Lord. Come back to the place of prayer in your life. I tell you this, it's the place of blessing. It's the place where God will bless you personally, and God will use you personally for the glory and for the honor of His name and for the forwarding of the work of God and the cause of Christ. Am I speaking to one in the meeting today and you're not saved? Understand that as you sit in this meeting, you're on the broad road under the condemnation of your sin to a lost eternity in hell. And if you are to be saved from your sin and hell and know God's salvation, you must start with the sinner's prayer. That's where you must start, with the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer? It's you coming before God in faith, repenting of your sin, confessing your sin to God. It is you thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for your sins upon the cross and asking Him by faith to save you from your sin and to cleanse you from your sin by His precious blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. That's the sinner's prayer. That is how it was with the old publican of old. He cried out, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He was confessing his sin. He was repenting of his sin. He was asking the Lord to cleanse him from his sin. And what does the Lord Jesus Christ say about that man? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, saved by the grace of God. Oh, sinner in our meeting, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, not saved. May you do the same today. Pray the sinner's prayer unto the Lord and be saved by the mighty grace of God for time.